The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now, on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome. This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live broadcast. Well, unfortunately not in studio, but I'm home broadcasting from my office, and we are live, and love to take your phone calls today on your health, your concerns, and anything that happens to be going on in your life. You know, we're living in a very uncertain time, and most of you have all kinds of questions. Well, here's an opportunity. You give me a call at 888-630-9625, and we'll go over them. We'll talk about them. And, you know, we have so much information for you. We're in the office. We're seeing patients. We're doing everything we can to keep your health, your immunological support right where it needs to be. And, you know, the doctors at the Rozell Center are dedicated to making sure that you're getting the very best support mechanisms possible. You know, if there's anything that we can do for you, any questions that you might have, all you have to do is give us a call at rozellcare.com. The number there is 703-698-7117. We'll talk to you. We'll guide you if you need to come in. We are at the level and above of CDC recommendations, and we're pre-screening. We're getting patients in and taking care of them. So, you know, let us serve you the best that we possibly can. We have nutrients and nutraceuticals, but we'll get into that. I have a very interesting program for you today, one that really needs to be discussed on a couple different levels. One, obviously, we're going to talk about some of the things that you can do to make sure that your immunological system stays strong for any viral type of patterns, as we've talked to you about in the past, but also, obviously, COVID-19. But we want to talk about blood pressure problems today. Now, blood pressure problems come from so many different things. And unfortunately, you know, there's four primary medications that we're going to talk about that are actually doing, in many cases, more damage than what they're trying to help. So many of you are on 2 to 4 to 5 different medications just to lower your blood pressure. And you wonder why it's not working and what you can do to make it happen. Well, blood pressure, like so many different things, can be a lifestyle phenomena. What am I talking about when I'm talking about lifestyle? It's the things that we choose to do or not take care of, and subsequently our body reacts accordingly, and subsequently we see this rise in pressure within our system because the body has to work harder to make a difference. You know, many years ago when I was in professional school, and I think it was probably about my 3rd or 4th trimester, and I was getting ready to go into the clinics. And there was a kind of a dumb choice that I had made back in the day. And I was a smoker. I was not a heavy smoker, but I was a cigarette smoker. And that came about when I was in college and undergraduate school, and I got hurt playing football in my junior year in school, and the frustration. So I started, you know, grabbing a little bit of these old Italian rope cigars they called Denoblis, and I never really smoked them, but I had them around as, you know, it's like chewing tobacco, but, you know, that went on. And then a couple years later, I was starting to smoke Camel filters, and I got myself up to about 2/3 of a pack a day. So I walked into the clinic to get a physical to, you know, to start my rotations in school. And the intern, the resident actually that did my physical, she took my blood pressure. And she just looked at me, and I said, "What?" And she said, "You're 160 over 100. She said, "I can't let you into the clinic." And she said, "You either have to do something about this, you're going to have to go on meds." And, you know, at that point, being young and about 25 years old, I was, you know, not about to be told what to do. And some of you will say, "Well, I'm not going to be told what to do today." But here's the backstory on it. I got so irritated. You know, I left, I walked out of that exam room. I was in the car in Chicago on the Eisenhower Expressway, and I have a full carton of cigarettes sitting next to me on the driver's seat. And I grabbed a cigarette and I put it in my mouth. I reached for the lighter, and all of a sudden the emotion overwhelmed me. So what had happened? Short story is simply this. I threw them out in the middle of the highway on Interstate 90 in Chicago. And to this day, I've never touched another cigarette. So what happened? My blood pressure dropped like a rock. Why? Because I was allergic to the tobacco. Obviously, there was other reasons to, tobacco's, the nicotine and so forth causes vasoconstriction, meaning that the blood vessels tighten up. But in my case, it was a double whammy. I was smoking. I was under pressure as a student. But I was highly allergic to this, and my blood pressure as a 25-year-old was dangerous, and it dropped. So many of you, and it doesn't have to be a cigarette, it can be some types of foods, it can be environment, it can be exposures, it could be the body not being in shape, it could be that stress pattern that just never goes away. So your blood pressure begins to rise. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to get into it. And if you have any questions, I want you to call me at 888-630-9625. And we'll talk about blood pressure. But, the number one most dangerous drug for blood pressure, and so many of you are on it, and it's prescribed in, my words, like candy for so many people, is lisinopril. And lisinopril is called an ACE inhibitor. What it does, it allows that those blood vessels to basically relax more and so forth. But it has a lot of side effects, and the side effects are things like weakness and coughing and dizziness, and it causes something called a kinin reaction. With this COVID-19, you've heard this cytokine inflammatory reaction. Well, this is part of the puzzle. So what happens is you have this inflammatory reaction due to these kinins that are going to cause your body other problems. So if you're taking some of these medications, there's an argument that says that, particularly in the environment that we're in today, you could be adding more problems, to your susceptibility to any type of viral pattern and so forth. And, if you really go in and you do the backdoor investigation on COVID-19 and you see the people that it's affecting, you're going to see that they have underlying predispositions or on certain medications. We talked about, I think last week we got in mentioned biologics, which are immunological suppressors. They're things like Humira and Taltz and so forth. And what they do is they suppress your body's immune system. And when they do that, you don't have the ability to fight things. And if you can't fight things, you end up susceptible to whatever's out there, and you end up with problems that just never go away. So lisinopril is like that number one drug out there that everybody gets for blood pressure. The number two is something called metoprolol. And what metoprolol is a beta blocker. And unfortunately, most beta blockers, or particularly metoprolol, is manufactured outside of the United States, particularly in India. And even if the drug was, the gold standard, and that's what you should be looking at all the time, the problem is when they're outside the United States, they don't have the standards in manufacturing that we do here. So sometimes the drug's not is too much. Sometimes there's mixtures in it. Sometimes, the effect isn't what it's supposed to be. But what it does is it drops your adrenaline. Your adrenal glands sit on top of your kidneys. And what happens is that it stops that adrenaline, that ability to chase the tiger, the ability to increase your strength. So it drops it down, thinking that what happens is if you're always in a sympathetic reaction, that stress phenomena that we've talked about so often, that it's going to increase your blood pressure. It does. So what this drug does is it drops it like a rock, and now you end up with a loss of strength. Your body feels tremendously weak. Sometimes you get dizzy, those postural patterns where you go from a sitting to a standing position, you turn your head too rapidly, and all of a sudden you gray out, you get really, really weak. Well, that's another indicator. That's something that is a side effect of that medication. So, some of you are, as I said earlier, they're taking 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 different medications to try to alter some of the side effects. So you take one and doesn't work the way it's supposed to, then you take another and it doesn't work the way it's supposed to. So pretty soon your doctor said, well, let's try this, let's try that, let's see if it works. And as we go through today, I'm going to give you some clues of how you can control this. There are so many different pieces to this juggernaut, if you will, of high blood pressure. And it can have to do with the neurological pathways. It can do with biochemical pathways. But I want you to really get it. I really want to understand. So, you know, the problem is that blood pressure, when it's too high, can cause the plaquing, the thickening within the arteries now to become potentially more dangerous than they would otherwise. You know, once you reach a certain age, all of us have a little bit of, it's called intimal thickening. And what that means is that you have the walls of the arteries, if you will, they get thicker. Some of you are forming plaque, and we all have a little bit of that throughout our bodies. It's really rare after a certain age that you don't form that. So what you want to do is make sure that you have more, as much free flow as you possibly can. But what if you could reverse that? You could decrease that plaquing. You could drop the pressure within the arterial base. And the truth of it is, it's possible. It can get done. But, you know, if you don't and you're in a bad place, you're eating the wrong things, your structural neurological system isn't working the way it's supposed to, then that plaque can cause potentially a heart attack. It can cause a stroke. It can cause damage to the kidneys. It can cause circulatory patterns throughout the body not to be optimized. So, you know, you're sitting there. So what's the person to do? Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what really can be done and how to change this. You know, and unfortunately, once you put on blood pressure medication, so many of your physicians will say to you, you have to stay on it for the rest of your life. You know, this is it. You know, what do you expect for your age? And you have to stay on this for the rest of your life. Well, it's not necessarily so, my friends. Your body brought you into a place where your blood pressure started bringing up. And it was, trust me, because you had your fingers in the pot. In the greatest majority of the situations, you were causing something to occur because of choices that you were making. So we have to make different choices. But if you reverse those decisions, those choices, and begin to clean things up or take care of the neurological imbalances that are there, your body reacts differently. And what that means is that in so many cases, often your blood pressures will drop. You know, we have patients that come in and we tell them, look, we're going to deal with this, and we deal with it multidimensionally, from neurological platform to biochemical platform, sometimes using some supplementations. And, you know, they go in to see their doctor, and the doctor takes their blood pressure, and they said, what are you doing? Why is your blood pressure so good when it's, you know, even under medication, it's only at 150 or 148 over whatever. And, you know, they say, well, I've been doing X, Y, and Z. And sometimes they say, well, I don't even want to know about it. You know, just, you know, do what you're doing and, you know, make a difference, right? Well, we're going to get into it a little bit more intimately, if you will. We're going to discuss it in much more detail. I'm going to tell you some things that you can do. We're going to talk about that neurological pathway as well, and specifically what steps you can take and how the Result Center for Healing and the professionals there can help you. So stay tuned. This is an important consideration, and we're going to talk about COVID-19 later on in the program. So you're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. Don't go away. I'll be right back after some very important messages. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizzo. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. We are live broadcasting from my home office. But nevertheless, I can hear you and you can hear me, and we're getting you all the great information that you deserve. Give me a call at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. We're talking about blood pressure. We're talking about COVID-19 and all the things that you need to be aware of and things that you need to do. You know, I want to encourage you. You can go to my Facebook page or the office Facebook page. Actually, go to my Facebook page. There's more on it. Just go to look up Tom Rizzo on Facebook, and you'll see that I publish all kinds of things. But, you know, I want to take a moment, by the way, and wish so many of our listeners a very blessed Easter. It's very different from my family because we usually, you know, observe the holiday by, you know, going to church and meeting with family and you know, being very celebratory in, you know, the risen Christ. And those of you who just are in the midst and through now Passover, I want to wish you the blessings of this very holy season. You know, we we really need to sit and take a moment and realize that, you know, if we stay solid as a family and we ask for the blessings of our Creator, we're going to get through this, and, you know, life is going to return. You know, the doctors and staff of the Result Center for Healing are doing everything that we possibly can to make a difference for all of you and answer your questions, and just doing phone consults. And, you know, Sue and Mary Jane are on the phone, you know, with so many in a dietary pattern. You're wondering what you can do, what you can't do, you know, what are your options? And the, you know, one thing that you want to make sure when it comes to dietary patterns right now with, you know, keeping your immunological system strong, is that you want to make sure you avoid as many fast foods and highly salted products and sugars as you possibly can, because all that does is it decreases your immune response and make you much more susceptible to virtually anything else that's going on. You know, we've published a couple things with masks and, you know, how you can protect yourself. If you take good standard precautions, you're going to come out of this thing as strongly as, you know, you started into it before everybody started getting crazy. And we're going to touch about that. But, you know, we're talking about high blood pressure this morning as well. So the second half of the program, I'm going to give you some more tips on this COVID-19 thing. And if you have any questions, if you want to know what your symptoms are doing, or, you know, if you should go get tested or anything of that nature, if you have any other problems that you'd like to discuss today, just pick up the phone, call us, 888-630-9625. I can see you or see your call online. I'll pick it up and we will talk and clear whatever we have to clear out. So talking a little bit about, you know, high blood pressure, and we said, you know, so many of you are on multiple medications. You're taking anywhere from 2 to 5 medications to drop your blood pressure down. And, you know, in our history of treating patients with high blood pressure, what we see often is that a patient comes in, they're taking whatever it is, and, you know, their doctor says they have to be on it for the rest of their life. And we sit there and say, well, not necessarily so if you begin to reverse the process that brought you there in the first place. So we talked a little bit about, you know, some of the medications that you're taking. We talked about, you know, plaquing and the intima of the artery, that's the walls of the artery getting thicker, and so putting a little bit more pressure on the system. You know, so what can you do? You know, many say, well, salt the problem. My doctor said to avoid all kinds of salt. You know, is, you know, do I need to avoid fats in my diet and, you know, completely eliminate all the fats in my diet? And there's more questions than that, but here's the truth on those two subjects. One, you need salt, and you can enjoy salt, and you can put salt on your body as long as it's not the refined salt. As long as it's not sodium chloride, you need to be doing things like sea salt and Himalayan salt. And that's not going to raise your blood pressure because it has all the minerals that you could possibly want in those substances. So knowing that's true, there are things that we're being told and things that are being suggested that may not be the right thing. So what we need to make sure is that you know what the truth is, and then you can put things in. So is salt the problem? No, as long as it's the right kind of salt. Are fats the problem? You actually need fat. Fats are good for you. You need to have them as long as they're not trans fats. Trans fats are killers, but saturated fats and monosaccharides, all these things are great for you, but you have to know what they are. And, you know, Sue and staff are really good at making sure that you're getting all the things that you need to get, and it's appropriate. And, you know, our job is to make sure you understand it and really what's going on. So that's what the program's all about today. We're going to get into it in a much more detailed way. So, but we want to fix it. We want to turn yourself around so you can tell your doctor, hey, look at my blood pressure. It's way too low. I'm getting really dizzy because my blood pressure is dropping down. I'll leave you one thought, because we're going to be coming up to a break in about a minute or so here, that there's another piece of the puzzle that's important when it comes to blood pressure, and that's your neurological system. Your neurology is critical in making sure that machine called your body is running properly. Many of you put up with stiff necks and soreness and lack of range of motion. I mean, you can't turn from side to side. You can't bend. Headaches at the base of your skull. The vertebrae between your shoulder blades, very sore, stiff. So what does that have to do with your blood pressure? Well, it has a lot to do with your blood pressure. See, that upper portion of your neck is what, if it's working properly, is what increases the parasympathetic response. That's that healing portion of what goes on in your system. That's the calming portion. Remember, we talked about the hummingbird exercise last week. That calms the body down. It puts you more into parasympathetic area. Where if the upper portion of your neck is fixated, meaning locked, it's not moving the way it's supposed to, then your parasympathetic system can't support you. So that fight, flight, that sympathetic response gets way, way, way too high. And you're constantly in a state of stress, which is going to do what? It's going to drive your blood pressure and make things worse. The other piece is that stiffness and soreness that you have between your shoulder blades. That can make life much more active, and it increases your sympathetic response. We're going to get into that a little bit more, things that you can do. We're going to kind of put it together piece by piece. We're coming up to a break. Got to pay attention to those people that bring you Dr. Tom Rizal Live. Call me with your questions, 888-630-9625. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I'm in my home office, and I'm broadcasting to you live. Kind of fun, actually. This is cool. I'm looking outside at, you know, kind of an interesting day, slightly overcast, but it's just really lovely watching all of the trees bud out and the flowers that are out there and so forth. Definitely going to go for a walk after we're done with the program. It's just so simply cool. Talking about blood pressure problems, talking about COVID-19 and some of the things that you can do to protect yourself, because our job is to make sure that you keep your immune system as strong as you possibly can and you protect yourself accordingly. We want to make sure that you know how to do that. Before we do that, we have somebody holding. Our number here is 888-630-9625. Give us a call. Rick, calling from Gaithersburg. How can I help you, sir?
Good morning and happy Easter, Dr. Rozelle.
Happy Easter to you, my friend.
Thank you. So I'm going to hit on both topics, blood pressure and COVID. My blood pressure goes through the roof when I see people in their vehicles wearing a face mask or walking down the street with no visible persons in sight. Can you help me understand how that helps the individual or the general public?
Okay, so we're getting into Tom Rozelle's opinion on some things here, and it's probably going to line up, and I'm probably speaking to the choir on some of this. So in that particular situation that you're describing, it's craziness. I'm not sure why people are doing that. You're in a car, you got a vehicle, you're even if it was out there, you're being protected by an impenetrable object. So I don't know why that's taking place. When you're outside and you're walking around, you're by yourself, you're not being exposed to anybody or anything, and you should be getting some nice fresh air and allowing your body to breathe properly. Now, so, you know, having said that, there's an argument that, you know, if you happen to, you know, get by a crowd of people and somebody's sick and they're hacking while you're walking by or running by, that you want to protect yourself. So at the end of the day, you know, the scenario that you described, I think it is kind of, you know, I don't know why people are doing it. I can't even begin to, except for the hysteria and the panic that's out there right now. It's making us all nuts. The data does not support it. Let's put it that way. And, you know, we're together in the house. We're seeing patients, you know, so, you know, if one of us had been exposed, we're probably all exposed, but we're doing so many things to protect ourselves. You know, walk into our office, we have to wear masks. And for two reasons. One, we're pre-screening all of our patients to make sure that, you know, they don't have fevers and so forth. And we have them fill out a form and sign it says they haven't been around anybody. They haven't had this. They haven't had that. And, you know, we have to be careful under those circumstances. But, you know, and that we're using caustic materials to clean the tables down after every patient. We're wiping doors down. We're wiping handles down. The stuff that we're using will kill you know, the AIDS virus. It'll kill Ebola. It'll kill SARS. It'll kill all the coronaviruses and so forth. So we're doing everything we can. But again, you know, if we want to get into the Tom Rosella's opinion about some of this stuff, that's a whole different story. Call me offline and we'll have a private conversation. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know, to answer your question directly, I don't know why people are doing that. Let's talk about your blood pressure. What's up with that?
No, that was sort of just a humorous lead in to that, but I did want to ask one follow-on question, which is tens of thousands of people die each year, every year, from influenza, and hundreds of thousands are infected by it. Tell me the difference here.
Rick, give it to me one more time slowly. You're coming across fine over the air, and I know you can hear me, but that, because I'm on my office and computer, give it to me one more time so I can hear you. I've heard part of your question, but not all of it.
Okay, I'll try again. There are tens of thousands of more people that succumb to influenza-type illness every year and even in years past, and there are hundreds of thousands of people that are affected by it. So comparing this to COVID-19, I don't understand the hysteria.
Rick, I've lost you. What we're going to have to do is get you back and see if we can't get the information a little bit more, and I will answer that. It's a little bit of a technical problem that we were having before the program started, and sounds like crickets, but we'll see what we can do and get that back in. We're here at 888-630-9625. I feel badly that, you know, when you're doing something like this remotely, we do have a few problems periodically. But anyway, let's go back, talk about blood pressure a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about how do you protect yourself, you know, with this bug that's out there. You know, people who are in high-risk situations when it comes to COVID-19 have to, you know, protect themselves like they would protect themselves from high levels of flu or the H1N virus, which is the swine flu. And by the way, that's out there today. And just as an aside, one of the things that's quite irritating about the accumulation of data that's there right now is simply this, is that anybody that is dying, that gets in the hospital, that tests for a positive antibody from COVID-19 may or may not have succumbed because of the COVID-19 issue. It could be something else, but they happen to have had an exposure. You know, we're talking about, you know, at some point, herd immunity. And herd immunity means that you've been exposed, you have an antibody to it, and at that point, you can't, you know, you're not going to be susceptible to it. So herd immunity, in my opinion, based on immunological theory and response, is a really good thing, because now as a society, we become stronger. And we can dissect that. And, you know, one of these days, I'm going to invite two, three people into the studio, and we're going to talk about the differences in, you know, acquired immunity, which is, you know, herd immunity, genetic immunity, and the different things that you need to be aware of. But we are, as a society right now, being suppressed and intimidated, my opinion, and we're put in a situation of fear. Is this serious? Yes. Is it something that we need to overreact? No. We need to think through the process and do the things that are right for us, for our family, for the people that are around us, and support each other and not get into combat. It's like leading up into this thing, we were going into combat constantly, you know, with all kinds of things. Well, it was economics. We were going into combat with, you know, where you came from in the world. We're coming to the color of your skin, the religious belief systems that you were having, and so forth. And it's another issue that is now separating society. Again, the program is not to get into this. This is something that, you know, we could have a very interesting intellectual conversation about at a different point. But for now, let's talk about the thing that's jacking us up, and what more appropriate than the topic that we're talking about today when it's high blood pressure, right? High blood pressure is a crazy situation that many of you are being put on medications for that are making things worse and are going to steal your life. You know, we've been told forever that salt and low-fat diets and so forth are healthful. And, you know, you get these heart healthy diets that are out there and heart healthy foods, and they're actually not healthy for you. They actually make things much worse. The cholesterol theory of cardiovascular disease is flawed. The thing that we're dealing with is that your body needs fat to protect itself and to have good brain function, neurological transmission, good hormone balance. And when you drop all of this stuff, not only do those things not work, but now you end up with this inflammatory reaction. Remember, we talked about kinins a little bit earlier. This inflammatory reaction, the cytokines that has to go along with this COVID-19, and now you end up in a much worse situation. Those of you who said, well, I'm going to be a vegan, but you don't do veganism properly, and you think that veganism is eating, you know, pizzas and pasta and so forth, those kind of things, you're actually making your arteries plaque, and you're increasing your risk of diabetes, and you're increasing your risk of all kinds of neurological disorders and degeneration. So the cholesterol theory has been shown to be flawed, and statins that many of you are being put on have side effects that are huge, that are egregious. You know, there are physicians out there that say that, you know, we need to drop that cholesterol as low as we can possibly get it. Well, you're killing people because of that. You know, you can't get too much cholesterol based on the information that's out there. You know, people who have low cholesterol levels die sooner than people who have generally decent cholesterol levels. You know, when I was in school, normal cholesterol was 235, you know, not under one or under 200. But, you know, what's causing the plaquing? And we're still talking about blood pressure here. You know, so when you're eating a diet that would take an animal, a cow or a pig or something of that nature to marketplace for slaughter because it's going to fatten them up, guess what it's doing to you? It's fattening you up as well. Your arteries are getting fatter, meaning that you're plaquing, that you're thickening, the inflammatory reaction, the swelling. Remember when I said inflammation equals acid? So here's what that acid really is. When you have acid in your body has to try to protect itself so it doesn't burn tissue up and leave this scarring that's in there. So what it does, it puts plaque in, and plaque is fat. So it tries to protect you. Your body is trying to do its job, but we try to stop it from doing its job. So subsequently, we have more problems. So cholesterol is healthy. You know, what we want to make sure is when we do cholesterols, and unfortunately we do the 5 or 6 components that the insurance companies will pay for, we don't do all of the things like the apolipoproteins A and B, the subfractions. You know, there's the things that we don't want are the small, dense, sticky, little pieces of fat in your body. Those guys are disruptive and they're problematic. We want the large, buoyant, bouncy guys that, you know, in many situations, they're not only not a problem, but they're tissue protective. So we want to make sure that biochemically your body is getting what it needs to have, that you're eating properly, that you're avoiding things that you're sensitive to. If you're eating something that you know you're allergic to, you know, like dairy, right? Even though that you could eat dairy if it was raw and it was organic and so forth and you weren't allergic to it, it causes an inflammatory reaction. That inflammation is what we're trying to avoid. And when inflammation gets too high, you know, you have a problem. But, you know, there's another medication out there. It's called amlodipine, and it's Norvasc for many of you. That's the term that we see. And what it is, it's a calcium channel blocker. And so when you have that type of thing, the side effects are like headaches, right? And, you know, depression and suicidal thoughts and things of that nature. Those are, you know, they don't tell you that those are the things that you may suffer. Chlorothiazide is another medication. And what it does is it decreases your potassium level. What happens when your potassium level gets too low? You could go into heart failure. And so you're feeling lousy. You're moping around. You have no energy. You don't have the wherewithal to go do anything. And it's because all of your electrolytes, all of your mineralizations have been shifted. And they still can't get your blood pressure down because you're not eating and doing the things that you should be doing. You're not supporting your body in the way. So you've actually been told to do something differently. And the, our patients who come in and we treat them, you know, biochemically and neurologically, and they do the right thing, and suddenly they go to their doctors, not saying that they had shifted anything. Doc thinks they're on their medications. See, their blood pressure is really low. And doc says, oh, my gosh, you know, we're going to have your blood pressure seems to be doing well under the medications that you're taking, and we're going to have to shift that and make a difference. And then they smile at the doctor and say, you know, I haven't been taking anything for a long period of time. And it's not that we've directed them, is that, you know, they realize that their blood pressure is dropping and they're getting dizzy and they've got to do something about it. But fortunately, there's a lot of physicians out there today who are really on target with this and beginning to understand that, you know, medication to control blood pressure may not be the way to approach the subject, that if we do some biochemical balancing, if we do some neurological balancing, that we can begin to shift things around. There was a patient that came in recently and had been in a car accident, was hit from behind. And so when you're hit from behind in a car accident, what's happened is your body's pushed forward and your head snaps back, but you keep accelerating. Pretty soon you stop and then your head is pitched forward. So that's where the term whiplash comes into play. So what had happened in this whiplash injury is that obviously the neck was hurt, started having some headaches and neck and shoulder pain. But the other piece was blood pressure started going up. And I had asked the patient, what was your blood pressure before the car accident? And he said about 120, maybe over 72, 73. And the patient on that day came in and blood pressure was 158 over 82. And I said, okay, this is not a good thing. And so, you know, we took it again just to make sure, and it was still elevated. So on examination, what we found is that the upper portion of the neck cervical vertebrae 1 and cervical vertebrae 2, they're called atlas and axis, were misaligned. They were locked. They were out of position. They were causing a lot of pressure within the neck. The nerves that come from the upper part of the neck, they're called the suboccipital nerves, were being irritated. The brain stem, it's called the vestibular portion of the brain, was being irritated. So what this was doing, this fight-flight reaction, was increasing his blood pressure. Guess what happened? We were able to start treatment, and we were able to manually move the vertebrae back into normal position over a period of time, take the pressure off the system, support it with things like magnesium and potassium and other anti-inflammatories like B12, B6, and so forth. And he was able to turn around completely. What a beautiful thing. Those are the things that we see day in and day out. We're coming up to a break in the program, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about COVID-19 and what you can do to protect yourself, what you should be aware of. So don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I'll be right back.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're in, well, my studio at home. And we listen to the program every Sunday, now 11 a.m. instead of 12. And why? Well, it's called, you know, Redskins football, which we hope to see in the fall. So, but now we don't have to shift to Saturdays. We're here we'll be in studio here at the house. But having said that, want to get back into the program, talk a little bit about a lot of different things today with your blood pressure and also COVID-19. We have another call that I'd like to try to take, and hopefully we'll be able to hear. Noble, are you there?
Yes. I have supraventricular tachycardia, and I'm scheduled for an ablation, a zapping operation coming Friday. I was wondering if you have an alternative to that because of my heartbeat. Goes up to 150 and 160. Occasionally, they're giving me a triple O tartrate, 50 milligrams twice a day right now. Is there an alternative?
Well, there's a lot of things that can be tried and done. So, you know, you're going through standard of care. They're either going to do a biochemical or they're going to do an electrical restart of your heart. So at the end of the day, have you done anything else? Have you tried acupuncture? Have you tried going to somebody who can deal with the biochemical piece, the potassium, the sodium, the magnesium balances that need to be normalized? Have you looked at the heart has primary electrical circuits. It has the vagus nerve, which comes from the brain. It has the pacemakers within the heart, and it has nerves that come from the spine. Any of those can cause that the ventricle, the lower chambers of the heart, to misfire. So where the way we would look at it is that we would go after that. Supraventricular tachycardia is very common. Atrial fib, a little bit more of a challenge to take care of, but SVTs are pretty straightforward relative to something can be done or not be done. So in our experience over a period of years, if you can get the neurological system balanced properly, there's a good shot that it can normalize. But you have to look at how the diaphragm, the big muscle that cuts you in half, is working in response, to the ability of the heart to fire. That diaphragm actually moves as you breathe in and out. If you're properly breathing, if you're breathing from your belly and not your chest, it helps pump the heart. Sometimes a combination of that muscle not moving and imbalances in potassium, magnesium, and so forth will cause the ventricular chambers to misfire. Sometimes just the acupuncture channels that go to the heart need to be balanced properly. So there's a really good chance that you could have other things done, at least in a trial basis, particularly if it's not a critical situation, it doesn't sound like it is, that can reverse this thing. So that's where I would start. If I was in your position, and that was a family member, we would be doing all of those things first before we would do anything like restarting electrically or biochemically. Because once you do that, you only can do it a few times, and then they put you on meds and you're on it for the, forever. But that's where I would start. Does that help you at all?
Yeah, a little bit. They did the adenosine about when I went to emergency room about seven times, and finally one of the doctors the fifth time put me on the metoprolol tartrate and at 25, and then they had to upgrade it to 50 milligrams twice a day. And then they were going to, it was not necessarily elective surgery, but there's a 1% chance of dying or have to go on a pacemaker and they could have bleeding where they go into the artery. And,
Correct.
So I don't know.
So here's what I would do, what I would recommend that you do. If it's not in a critical situation, I would go to see somebody, and you're out in the Front Royal area. Send me a note, and I'll see if I can find somebody near you. It's the kind of work that we do all the time. But to do that first, try that first before you go into anything of that nature. Before you've had any other intervention, it's more successful in the natural world than afterwards. Things that they're going to ask you about or should, if you go into an office like ours, is, histories of injury. You're going to take a really hard look at what your dietary patterns are. We're going to look at a lot of different pathways that can be affected. Like I said, you have three electrical sources to the heart. You have an energetic source to the heart. You have biochemistry that affects the heart. All of those things need to be dealt with. And just instead of, this is what's happening, and, okay, how do we do something to the heart instead of the things that are working in concert with heart function and physiology? The physiological applications need to be understood. My electrical system's not working. The next question really needs to be, why isn't it working? And then look at that. When did it start? What was involved at that period of time? So that's where I would go. If you'd like to talk to me offline, I'll be in the office tomorrow. Send me a note through the website, and I'll get back to you. And I actually give you a call. We can talk for a while. For my family, and I would recommend doing something before that. So I hope that helps a little bit. Just be really cautious when you have something that may be affected better, different way, that doesn't put you into a susceptible situation. We're coming up to the break in the program, and until next week, next time, and we continue to try to bring you all the information we can. Go to RoselleCare.com, ask us any information. We have all kinds of information there for you to learn from. I do the program every Sunday simply because of one reason. You deserve it, and I love you all. See you next week. Bye.